And welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. This is a podcast from metro.co.uk.
You get more and more excited every time you say that. It's you're going to have a little ulcer burst. It's a bit like, Miranda, when you have a poorly pussy.
Oh, God. Yes.
No one, but I'll stroke it better. Oh, creepy. Oh. My name is BB Creepy Lynch.
Oh, hi, Miranda. Drop me out, Kane.
Who are we talking to today?
Oh, we are going to be talking to a new service. Well, it's a new service with an old brand, and they're going to be talking about, well, just that, really. Your poorly pussy.
Oh. Hi, my name is Farah. I'm here with Sarah. We're the co-founders of Hank's sexual wellness brand designed with women in mind.
Welcome, ladies, to Good Sex, Bad Sex. It's the Hank's co-founders, Farah Kabir and Sarah Welsh. Have I said names right?
Yes, hi. Thanks for having us.
Yay. Hello. And you're here to talk about Hank's Fit. Now, I just want to explain, because I've been following Tom Hanks all my life. So when I saw the word Hanks with an X come into my email box, I got really excited because I thought it was Tom Hanks finally asking me to marry him, which is well overdue. I was like, you know, you've had your time, Tom. But it's not. You are a leading UK femtech company revolutionising new services about lack of knowledge about vagina health. Is that right? You're going to be better at explaining it than me, aren't you?
Well, I'm firstly sorry to disappoint you, Miranda, that we weren't Tom Hanks.
I felt like that's why I got a bit nervous. That's why I just stopped myself, because I was like, I've just fucked this. I've fucked the start, haven't I? Brilliant. Great. Well done, me.
No. We're kind of championing positive sexual health and female health, vaginal health, things that are a little bit taboo. We want to really kind of break down the barriers to access and promote positive sexuality and sexual well-being. So we started off with condoms and lubricant, which are vegan certified, kind to the body, kind to the planet, but also they're kind of like vegan certified, sustainable, and fit in with your kind of beauty items and handbag. And, they don't feel nasty or kind of not full of nasty chemicals. So that was our kind of initial products. And we've now just launched a platform on our site called Hank's Fix, which is all around vaginal health and treatments for things like thrush and cystitis and bacterial vaginosis, which are common vaginal issues, but people don't talk about them enough, don't have enough education on them, and that access is slightly stigmatized. So it's just a convenient way to treat these things.
There's so many things surrounding a vagina that can be quite difficult. Like, I only recently found out about bacterial vaginosis, like literally only within the last few years, because other than that, you're just told, well, it's either thrush or cystitis. Yeah. And actually there's a wide range of things. So to have something that is just a quick questionnaire, what then happens? Can someone get treatment from it from you guys, or do you recommend where they can go for treatment?
Yeah, so they can actually, they can come on to hanks.co.uk, and we have an online questionnaire where we would ask the general questions that a pharmacist would ask for someone who thinks that they have one of these symptoms. And the output of that is it's then approved by a pharmacist who goes through that questionnaire to check that you have the right treatment. They then approve it, and then it's dispensed and delivered discreetly to your door.
I love the idea of this, that it goes to the door, so it kind of takes away the, if people have embarrassment of going to a pharmacist like in front of a queue and saying, oh, there's this, what do I need, and to be treated in that way and to be given whatever they need to help them in that way. But doesn't making the products look like non-medical products and something coming to the door take away the need to actually remove the stigma from source?
Yes, I mean, one of the reasons why we launched a service was consumer driven. So we speak to our community, we're actively engaged with them, we ask them what do they want next in terms of product offering. That's one of the reasons why we launched our lubricant as well. And I think particularly in a post-COVID environment, convenience is key. So it's not just about removing any stigma or embarrassment. It's about what can I get access to as quickly as possible to help remedy what is going on. So we feel that this is, you know, a really great service that, like we said, is delivered to your door quite conveniently, but is still medical grade, you know, gynae approved products that offer a solution.
Yeah. And I think we're not, you know, we're not taking away from the fact that these are, you know, pharmaceutical products, like Farah was saying, but it's about saying, do you know what? I don't want to think of my sexual wellness or my intimate wellness or, you know, vaginal health as a, like a really negative thing. I want to think of it as something that I can talk about as my general well-being, you know, it's part of my general and overall well-being. So why shouldn't it go with the other things I associate with well-being? And why shouldn't I feel positive about caring for it? Whereas at the moment, the kind of connotations with the products on the market we found from our consumers was quite negative. And we kind of want to flip that around and you know, putting nice bags and making them into things that you actually want to carry around and buy. So,
And I think on that point as well, one of the things, I don't know whether you ladies can relate to this, but when you get medication, the jargon is baffling.
Yeah.
You get these instructions with tiny writing and you just want to know what to do ASAP. Yeah. And with these products, we still have those leaflets, but what we have is also a simplified version in non-jargon speak, making it really easy for you to understand what to do in the most convenient way. So making it quite accessible. So we really have thought about the whole customer journey with this and ease of use as well.
Because you did a survey and found that 52% of people do not like having to use intimate health products. Do you think that's why? Because it is so clinical and just like complicated and dry and
I'd say dry.
Definitely. Nasty.
Yeah.
I know. I was trying not to. I was trying to think of a different word.
No, absolutely. And it's also people feel a bit embarrassed about it because unfortunately, especially women, a lot of the time do feel embarrassed about their intimate health and vaginal health. And that brings with it lots of negative things. You know, if we don't know our bodies, we don't know when things are going to be wrong. You know, if there's something wrong with it, we don't know when to seek help and all that kind of stuff. So it can be, you know, embarrassing, but also it can lead to sinister things like not picking up cancers, for example, if we don't know what's wrong with our bodies. So I think there's that kind of people don't know enough. And like Farah said, that's why we want to educate in an accessible way, because a lot of people don't have this kind of education. You know, it's not something that's taught at school, right, about vaginal health. Yeah. Really. So I think that's one of the reasons. And I mean, it's not particularly glamorous, is it, like talking about Thrush or using a Thrush treatment or picking up Thrush products? Like,
I was gonna say, I think we get a real rough deal in the names that get called stuff like Thrush bacterial vaginosis.
So true.
Doesn't it sound horrible? If it was called like frumpy lumpers, then I'd be like, oh, I've got a case of the frumpy lumpers, and you'd be all
so
over
true,
it
so
but Thrush.
Oh, so funny but so true.
Do you find that there's a generational difference in approach to sexual health and vaginal health? Because I love Twitter, right? And one of the things I love about it, it's such a contradiction, because it gives a platform for people to be who they want to be and say what they want to do, and then also it gives a platform for little shits to come in and kind of be bastards to everyone. But that kind of, it takes away shame, I feel like, or it takes away just angst about being open about certain things. So I'd imagine that the younger generation would be less worried about talking about this stuff, but I bet I'm wrong.
No, I think you're definitely right. Like, I agree with everything you're saying as well. And I think traditionally, like, older generations probably would not talk about all of this stuff and go straight to the doctor and just listen to what the doctor has said and not maybe research it themselves, or they wouldn't have another platform to go to. It would just be like, right, they told me to take this, I'll take it, I'm not really going to question it as much, I'll talk about it. Whereas, yeah, I think the new, like, the younger generations are talking about things more, they're researching, they want to know what goes on and in their bodies a lot more than just, you know, seeking professional advice straight away. They might research themselves, or like you say, go to Twitter or talk about products or services or people or brands, whatever, through these open platforms, which is,
yeah,
a lot of the time good.
but some of the time.
Yeah, I think we're not giving our consumers enough credit as well in this day and age. They're not blown over by just nice packaging or premium branding. They're all about transparency, like Sarah said. They want to know what goes in and on their bodies, the ingredients are involved, supply chain, sustainability, all those elements. So I would agree. I think you're right with the younger generation. They're inquisitive and they won't just take this, but they want to know more. And we'll do the research.
What's your backgrounds, both of you?
So my background's actually in investment banking. So I'm a number cruncher. boring account.
Very useful to have there as a and yeah, I'm a gynecology doctor. So yeah, used to talking about vaginas all day, every day. And here we are.
Different? Do you think there's different attitudes in the UK than in other countries about sexual health?
Absolutely. I think definitely in India, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, and those sorts of places, it's still very taboo. Mm-hmm. I think we're making strides, but there's not enough there. And I think there's a lot more we can do, but ultimately we need men as allies to also support these conversations of sex and relationships and gender, etc. And I think it's a much more delicate topic out there because of culture and religion. I think in the UK we're definitely making moves and we're a lot more open, but in the non-Western countries, I imagine it's very different.
And I think within kind of Europe and, like Scandinavian countries, for example, they start sex, they have such a different attitude to like sex education in schools. They start younger, they take it really seriously. It's much more kind of holistic, and they spend a lot of time talking about like relationships and consent and pleasure and things that are all part of sex and relationships, but we probably don't focus on as much here. So like it's so variable.
Do you think it's also the accessibility to medical care? Like that, because if you know that you can get an anonymous appointment fairly easily, surely that makes it a lot easier to go and find out about BV and thrush and cystitis.
Definitely. Accessibility is huge.
One of the things that I like about Hank's Fix is it just seems really accessible. So when I've gone to the doctor in the past before for vaginal health issues, then it has meant having to go to the doctor or having to go to the sex clinic, GUM clinic or something. And it's just been, oh my God, I've got to take an hour out of my day, go down there, sort it all out, go through all these questions that some of them just don't even relate, like having my weight taken. I'm like, well, surely, thin people's vaginas get itchy as well. Exactly. But that's a different podcast.
that's not going to be a podcast, Miri. let's not go with that podcast.
Fine.
I love it.
But it's like all these, you spend an hour waiting, because you might not be able to get an appointment. And it just, what has changed? What has made it so that I can now just go online and do a questionnaire and get treatment sent to me? This is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, and exactly, like that's exactly it. It's so inconvenient, that whole process, and it's a bit archaic and it's taken a long time to really change. And some kind of sexual health clinics are definitely doing things in a much better way, like especially the London ones, but like so many are far behind. And ultimately, like, we've got the NHS, which is amazing, but there's lack of funding, and unfortunately sexual health does tend to be one that gets cut in terms of funding. So there are limitations, but that's where brands like us come in, right?
Where else can Hank's go? What's your, I guess the sky's the limit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when we thought of Hank's, Sarah and I, it started with condoms, and the more we looked at the market, there were other inconvenient elements for women and pain points. And we, as we build the brand, we realized we want to build products all the way from a woman's first time to her first child and beyond that. So really, it's all about encompassing intimate health for women. So really, the sky is the limit. And I feel like, the Hank's Fix products are a bit of a game changer, especially, like you say, why hasn't it been this accessible to date? And, it has taken some time. It's quite an archaic market, traditional pharmacy route going into stores. And I think technology certainly helped with that. And I hope all the you know, the hard effort and work we've put in to build this Hanks Fix platform will enable us to produce other products that sort of go beyond the realm of just vaginal health, you know.
Yeah.
And women of different ages as well.
So people still believe that cleaning your vag with soap is going to prevent SPV and thrush and everything. And I'm like, I thought we all knew that you don't, because it all buggers up your PhD.
Yes, that's why you fucked up your PhD.
Yes.
Your PhD on BV was fucked up because you got a bit of
so I'm not Dr. Kane. I'm so sorry. Once I get like three coffees in me, it just all turns to shit. So a quarter of people in your survey still think that cleaning thoroughly with soap will prevent BV and thrush rather than, you know, cause it. So do you think you're going to come up with your own soap so they can have a rub at it as much as they want without mucking up their pH levels?
Do you know what? That, you know, I think it comes, like, we want to sell legitimate products that, like, you know, our customers want. So we always listen to our customers. But ultimately, we don't want to sell something that is just to make money or is just there for no reason.
Sarah, like, don't be polite to her. Don't, she's trying to be the face of your vagina soap. Don't just say no.
Well, exactly. I don't think that there is a need for that. So, but we are always looking for consumers, and we are all ears to what people want next. And yeah, sky's the limit.
So you're not going to be interested in my thrush brush?
No, unbelievable. I'm so sorry, everyone.
terrible.
I have to say, with the soap stuff, you know, I feel like we've been conditioned to think that anything that smells down there, or we have to, it has to be clean down there. But what is the definition of clean? And actually, from a medical perspective, it does disrupt your pH balance, am I right, if you put things like soaps down there. But we've all been conditioned that actually it needs to smell nice, and we need to have deodorant, and we need to have wipes, when actually every single body is different, and you don't need to conform to that. And don't get me wrong, I think you would be a great face for the bee hands. Like maybe we could do an April Fool's Day
I'm there. Booked. Yeah, talk to my agent.
How can people get in touch with you, or, you know, find out more about you?
So they can go to our Instagram, Hanks Official. They can head to hanksofficial.com, also on our Twitter, Hanks_official. And our DMs are always
don't open. Say that.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, God. My agent will be DMing you.
And it's Hanks, H-A-N-X, by the way. H-A-N-X, Thanks.
Not Tom.
Although
Hanks. That's a
I'll be sliding into his DMs.
if you can get Tom Hanks front in Hanks, I will make a soap.
Oh my God, BB, have you ever had a poorly pussy?
God, you know I'm more of a dog woman. I've had, I'm sure, the usual ailments, the below the waist ailments that we've all had. I think it's. Yeah. I think I love the idea of this, that there's you don't, if you do feel embarrassed talking about this kind of sexual health, that you don't have to go to a pharmacy, you don't have to go to that inconvenience, and you can have, you know, you can do the questionnaire and work out, you know, what is specifically up or down, or around, and then you can get the treatment sent to you. And I think that's really brilliant, and yeah, you know, all-time course, that's great. But I do think that needs to be hand in hand with people being educated to not be embarrassed about it.
Oh yeah, because I mean that's the dream, but you know, in the meantime, it's just nice to know that you don't have to sit in the doctor's with an itchy vag for 3 hours, isn't it?
See, vag. I prefer to say vag than pussy. What's your favourite word for your bits? Do you call it little Miranda?
No, I call it little BB Lynch.
Oh, my name. My name is Bebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols from Metro. Oh, I can't say it. Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk.
And you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end.
Why? Oh, and also, if you have got a sexy question or a query, or there's a topic you'd like us to talk about, get in touch. Email us at info@sexpod.co.uk.
And we will see you next week.